Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we've been looking at this particular study for a while now. I think I did part 6 last week and circled back to Jesus Christ and his healing power and how he went about healing, how he went about dealing with evil spirits, and what he did. We know that this was his assignment. And what I want to do now is branch off heading towards the disciples, because we are disciples, just like the 12. Those are the first 12 that he picked. And he taught them a few things about who they are. And we talk about spending time in the Word. When they got to spend time with the literal Word, the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. And you and I, when we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, we also have an opportunity to spend time with the Word, which is now a written form where you and I can have access to Jesus Christ, the living Word, just like the disciples did. And so we have access to him just like they did. And we also have, we are accompanied by the Holy Spirit, who is going to teach us, bring us insight, revelation, data that we don't know, a new perspective concerning certain things as we look at the Word of God and study the literal writing of the Word. But it's also Jesus Christ is an incarnation of the Word of God. So we are spending time with the Word of God just like they did. And so we began to study and look at Jesus' ministry on healing. And I pointed it out to you guys last podcast, that there is a thread of an ingredients that God is interested in when it comes to us receiving anything from him. And that thread that you see in everything, in anything, is faith. And we know that the Bible tells us in Hebrews that without it, that faith, that thread, it's virtually impossible to please God, because you have to believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder, that he is, his desire is to reward, since he's a rewarder. So when we are looking at health, he's a reward. He says, I am the Lord thy God that heals you. So he's a rewarder of things, whether it's material things, whether it's spiritual things. He's a rewarder, and that's what he's interested in rewarding us. But we first have to believe that he is, and that word and that concept of belief has everything to do about faith. When we started this particular journey, the first scripture that we looked at was John chapter 5, verses 1-9, and then we looked at verse 14. And it reads this way: sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethsaida, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. And it, verse 3, here a great number of disabled people was lying there. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and so they began to describe what that scene looked like. One who was there had been an invalid for 30 years. So now, in this group of people, it says that there was a great number of disabled people that was laying there. And they were blind, they were lame, they were paralyzed, a great number. And one who was there had been an invalid for 30 years. When Jesus saw him, so Jesus looked at him, and I believe that when Jesus saw him, he recognized that he had something in him that is a little different than that great number of disabled people. Because watch the conversation that Jesus had with him. When Jesus saw him laying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. So Jesus Christ must have asked some questions. So they give him some data. He asked him, the man, after Jesus saw him, "Do you want to get well?" Pretty simple question. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up." So Jesus recognized that this man wanted to get well, because, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," he replies, number one, there's a barrier. I have no one to help me into the pool. But regardless, or when it's stirred, regardless of that, while I am trying to get in, someone else goes down. So Jesus recognized that this man had faith to get healed out of all that great number. And he looked at him and he says, "Get up, pick up your bed and walk." And watch the man's response. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. He picked up his mat and walked. So Jesus saw something in him, and he wanted that to be a marker that all of us have to look for. So now Jesus Christ, he's on the scene. He now is going to pick these 12 men, and he's going to let them loose, if you will. And according to Luke chapter 9, verses 1, we're going to read that and show you a couple of things. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples. That's a title of the chapter. It says, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power. Not just power, but he also gave them authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. So as a disciple of Jesus Christ, because you have to remember the mandate by which the church is dictated to deal with the world, those that are in the kingdom of darkness, is to make disciples. As one is rescued from the kingdom, when evangelist comes and he preaches the good news of salvation, that person gets saved. The church's responsibility, where the pastor comes in, the teacher, and all those others, is to take that individual and make a disciple out of him and her, or her. And as we make a disciple of him or her, they are now going to spread out, go into the world, and they are also going to copy and do the same thing, because they don't know anything else but making disciples. And so, but what we have, as I said to you many, many times, that the church is focused on getting members. And so because we are focused on getting members, that is the benchmark by which we are going to now begin to worry and, be all kind of mess up based on how many members we have in our church. So if a pastor is stepping out, believing God has called him, and he may have 5 or 6 people in his church, he or she is going to get discouraged because all they see is 5 or 6 people in their church. And the programming that we have received from the main ministers is that, look, if you have 5 or 6 people in your church, you're failing, actually, not understanding that if you have 5 or 6 people in your church and you're making disciples of those 5 or 6 people, you're actually doing the will of God. The church that has 10,000 members in it, they're actually not doing the will of the Father, the will of what Jesus had mandated us to do, was to make disciples, because it's important that you make disciples versus members. Why? Because disciples now are the ones that will be dealing with the power and the authority to cast out demons and to heal all sick and diseases. Members can't do that. There is nothing in this Bible that says one day Jesus called 12 members and gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick. There is no such thing in the Word of God. And so when you are sitting in a church that are bragging about how many members they have, that doesn't impress me at all. what will really impress me is that church that have six disciples in it, that those people are walking with power and authority to cast out demons and all and heal all diseases. So it doesn't matter what disease that is out there on this planet. A disciple has the power and the authority to heal them. And then it says, then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, if you are not telling them about the kingdom of God, because we talked about it, these are the scriptures that I constantly read to you guys in the beginning, to show you that this is about the kingdom of God. If they are not preaching and teaching the kingdom of God, there is no power and there is no authority to cast out demons and to heal sick or all manner of diseases. So the power is in the what you're preaching. If you're preaching the kingdom of God, the kingdom, the gospel of God, it comes with some power and some authority. But only a special group of people have that ability to wield that power and to wield that authority. It is the disciples. It is not the members. And so that's why you see these churches anemic, sick, and demon-possessed, because they are full of members. And no one is healing the sick and casting out those demons that are fighting for the seats while they're sitting there on Sunday. Devil knows about the church. They are in the church. Actually, it was Lucifer that began to quote scriptures to Jesus Christ. You remember that? So the Bible tells us that, in fact, that the church should be where all those guys come, especially if there's a church that is, we know that when Jesus was around, they're a representation of power and authority. We know that people were bringing all kinds of demon-possessed and healing and sick and bringing it to Jesus Christ. And so we know that these two, this group of people, the disciples, those are the ones with power, those are the ones with authority to heal sick and cast out demons. Now, any religion that is out there, I don't care what religion you're a part of, that is not preaching the kingdom of God, do not have the ability, the power, or the authority to cast out and heal the sick, demons and sick. What they do have is the name of Jesus Christ. And the name of Jesus Christ itself, and we're going to study the name of Jesus Christ, we'll study the blood of Jesus Christ, we'll study all those eventually. But the name and the power is in the name. So the Bible tells us that even every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter who you are, what being you are, you know, demon, evil spirits and all that stuff, angels, the humans that when we die and our souls are out there and our spirit tells us that you can bow. All atheists will bow. Every single one will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. You only bow when you have authority at the name. So the name of Jesus Christ has authority and has the power to make you bow and bend your knees and make angels bend their knees, because they recognize that that name is above every name. So as we're looking at this transition from Jesus Christ to the disciples, we are seeing that he instructed them, but they had to go with something. Yes, you have to tell them. The benchmarks are, number one, you have to be a disciple. These disciples have power. They have authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. And then he sent them out to tell them about, he gave them the authority, and he says, when you go out now to tell the people out there, tell them about the kingdom of God. And while you're doing that, you use your power and your authority to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even change of clothes. Whether you go, stay in a house until you leave it. And if the town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news, or they're preaching the kingdom of God and healing the sick. So as we see this transition, remember we talked about that a few podcasts ago when they couldn't cast out this particular type And Jesus said, these kind came out through fasting and praying. So we know that they are able to be cast out, but you have to be in a space by which you can do that. And that space is fasting and prayer. So one, then, a disciple is what he's notifying them, that the disciple's life should be one of fasting and prayer, should be one where you incorporate fasting in your life as a part of your living, so that when you are out preaching the kingdom of God and this kind pops up, that you are ready to deal with this kind. So we see then that when Jesus Christ is leaving and he died and he resurrected, he tells them, he says, go and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's someone else coming and he's going to come on you and baptize. He will be in you. And this is power. You shall receive power from on high. Remember, after he resurrected, he said, all authority has been given to me. Now I'm going to give it to you guys. Go into the world and preach the kingdom of God and telling people how to be healed. We talked about last week when people outside of the way in other religions, how they use props to deal with spirits and evil spirits and so forth. Props being sprinkling water, holy water, they call it holy water. They call it, what else? They use the cross. They use the rosary bead. Jesus Christ and the disciples use nothing like that. There is nothing, any book that I've ever read that talks about how Paul and Peter and James and those guys were using cross and rosary bead. Read the book of Acts. These guys didn't deal with that. They walked in their authority. Anyone, and I said to you, anything outside of the way in which the kingdom is the way, that is, the kingdom is the way. When you hear me say the way, I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Anything outside of the kingdom of God is show. These guys, you know, the exorcists and all those other things that you read about, that's show, man. Someone with real authority will walk in and say, come out. You know what I'm saying? Someone who has been a disciple. These guys are not disciples. They're priests. They're priests under a false religion. They got no power. They have no authority. But they have the cross. And that might help a little. But they have the name of Jesus Christ. And that will help a lot. Because Jesus says, you cast out. They said to him, didn't I cast out demons and heal the sick in your name? The power is in the name. That's why I say to you, that name has that and houses that authority and that that power. And so the demons will leave because of that name. But they ain't afraid of you with your cross and your holy water, man, because you're not a disciple. You're fake, because we see them talk to Peter and Paul about it in the scriptures. So now let's take a story in Acts chapter 3, because this is where the disciples begin to see extensive data on how the disciples dealt and the apostles dealt with healing and demons when they were walking in their ministry. So now let's take a look at Acts chapter 3. It says, now Peter and John were going up in the temple at the hour of prayer, the night hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, who lay there daily at the gate of the temple that is called Gate Beautiful, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked to receive alms. It's regular stuff, just like what he's been doing all this time. And Peter, you guys watch this thing again. And Peter directed his gaze at him. Does that sound familiar? And Jesus went and he saw this man at the pool of Bethesda. He saw him. So Peter must have recognized something just like Jesus did. Now let's see what the conversation is, the exchange of words. Words matter. Insights and stuff like that matter. So Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look on us. They saw him. They said, hey guy, look here, over here. And he fixed his attention on them. What did he do? Hey guy, look at me. He began to focus on them. he fixed his attention on them. Nothing outside of that matter. He fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive from them. He's expecting. See what I mean? That's faith. He's expecting something, but he's expecting some money, right? Because he's there begging for money. Now, Peter and them saw something. Both of them stared at him. But Peter said, I have no silver and I have no gold, but what I have, I'm going to give you. What do I have? I have the name of Jesus Christ. I have the name of Jesus, the Messiah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What I do have is power. What I do have is authority. Now, I am going to exercise my power and my authority that I have through the name of Jesus Christ, which was given to me. Jesus says, hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask the Father in my name, and he will give it to you. He will do whatever it is. And in fact, when you look at the meaning of that, it says, if he doesn't have it, he'll make it for you. And so, what did Jesus give us? This authority that he gave us, this authority that is in his name. Because he tells his disciples to go around in his name and do what he has to do. So I'm giving you all this power. And so we have that. And so those people in the other religions have that as well. It's there. They can use it and they've used it. I've known priests that have used the name of Jesus Christ and not born again and whatever and cast out demons because the power is not in the priests. What I do have, I don't have money, but what I do have is the name. And in this name, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand. He stretched out his hand. Now, he stretched out his hand. That means that man has to stretch his hand to him. That is that thread of faith. The man had, this is what I keep telling you, this thread is in every healing that you will see, everyone that takes place, because it is the law that activates God. For without it, the law of faith, it is impossible to please him. But when we operate in the law, when we reach out our hands, it tells us. When we reach out our hands, it says that he is... He took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people in the kingdom of darkness that saw that, he says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized as the one who had sit at the gate beautiful, asking for alms. So all the people in the kingdom of darkness saw him and recognized that something had happened to him. He was changed by the gospel of the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ. And it says, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. That can only be done by disciples. Acts chapter 5 verses 12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done amongst the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's court. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitude of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick in the streets and laid them on in cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on them. Their people believed that if his shadow fall on the people, that they are going to get healed. And they put them all out there just for that. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. This is the Acts of the disciples. The book of Acts is a chronicle of the disciples' and how they behaved. None of them, as we read, were carrying with them holy water, a cross, and some beads, but they were carrying the name of Jesus Christ. They were carrying with them the authority, and they were carrying with them the power. Now, let's go to Acts 8:4. Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word of the kingdom of God. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ, the Messiah, the kingdom message, the kingdom of God. And remember, it says when you preach the kingdom of God and the gospel, that these signs will follow you. And the crowd with one accord paid attention, that focus, to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. What signs did this man do? You got to remember, Philip is a disciple. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there were much joy in that city that was filled with people that were a part of the kingdom of darkness. They saw the power of Jesus Christ. They saw the power of the kingdom of God. And many of them, I'm sure, received Jesus Christ. The church today have no power. Acts chapter 9. So Ananias departed and entered into the house, and laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, Damascus, said to me that, you know, so that you may regain your sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he laid hands, Brother Paul. This is right after he witnessed, he sanctioned the killing of Stephen. And while he was on his way to commit a little more mass murdering of Christians, Jesus Christ comes and intervenes and said, Saul, Saul, why are you doing this to me? And so he says, what are you talking about? And he had his encounter with Jesus Christ. And Jesus sent him to Ananias so that, because God, Jesus blinded his eyes, took him and sent him to him. You go to this man, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And so he touched and prayed. Brother Paul got filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he arose and baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. These guys, the disciples, Acts 9, now as Peter went here and there amongst them all, he came down also to the saints who lived in Lydia. He says that there he found a man named Ananias, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus Christ healed you. Where? See, he points back to that name, that individual, that person that gave him, Jesus said in the scripture. He says, on that day, Jesus called his 12, and he gave them the power and authority over all demons. And so he did that to every single one of us that becomes born again. He has given to you the same thing. He says, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise, make your bed. And immediately he rose, and all the residents of Lydia and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. People got saved. Because why? Because they saw the power of the kingdom of God. And so when we, Bible tells us that when we are born again, we are translated from one kingdom into the kingdom of God's dear Son, or the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there are new principles by way we live and proceed. In the kingdom of darkness, there's much sicknesses and disease and so forth. But within the kingdom of God, there is a way by which one can gain their healing and to be healed and so forth. And that way is the name of Jesus Christ through faith. But you need some disciples. You got no disciples. You got no power. Now, Acts chapter 14. Now at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth, and he never walked. Listen to Paul speaking. Paul is preaching what? He's preaching about the kingdom of God. And Paul, looking intently at him, see this piece again. Paul looking intently at him and seeing, what did Paul see? Seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And the man sprang up and began walking. Do you see what I am talking about? I wanted to walk you guys through the scriptures this way, and that's why I picked to do what I did. I wanted to walk you through step by step. I talked about when Jesus first saw the man. We talked about Peter and, looking at the man and saw. So what are they looking at? What did Jesus see in that man? Because you remember, there's a multitude of people, man. Imagine that. Jesus Christ, who has the ability to heal all manner of sicknesses and disease, gave the disciples authority over all sicknesses and diseases and demons and all that stuff. He just dealt with that one man, and it tells us that there was a multitude of people over there. So there's a lot of people walking around that are sick and diseased and don't have any faith to get healed. They accept where they're at. You know what I'm saying? And so when Jesus looked at that man, he asked him a question. He's trying to locate him. Do you want to get healed? And once Jesus stated the question, he recognized that, yeah, this man, he says, yeah, these are the barriers there. But while I was heading in that direction, someone else is able to make it. So he had the ingredients that was necessary in order for him to get his healing. And that ingredients was his faith, because Jesus saw it. Peter saw it. Paul saw it. That ingredient is called the law of faith. If you don't have it, you're not going to get your healing. Now, but you need to find yourself some disciples. You need to stop messing around with all of these crazy people that are in the church with a full of members. If you read the book of Acts, you will see, you read others, even outside of the Bible, there are documentation outside of the Bible from different types of belief system that read and tells the stories of these apostles and what they did. And none of them were carrying a cross. None of them were walking around with holy water. Not a single soul. And so that's why I say to you, these men that are operating today, they are using the name of Jesus Christ, and they're using all these props to do the things that the disciples did, but they're not disciples of Jesus Christ. You will know, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And you need to understand that you have your choices to make. If you're sitting on the church that have men that use as props, you'll know who they are. And we are getting to see most of them being exposed to their pastors, raping young kids. I mean, these guys are not, they're not men of God. Men of God, the people, their heart is a heart of a shepherd. It's different. That heart, that individual person, you talk to them and you know the difference. Their heart. Bible tells us that that shepherd has a kind of a heart of a shepherd. They are those that have infiltrated the church pretending to be, but they are pedophiles, they are thieves, they are evil men that are coming just to plague you, strip away, go after the women, go after the men, the boys. Their heart is not of a man of God. The Bible tells us that the enemy, he can act like an angel of light, but his heart is not an angel of light. And so you will see the devil's children in churches that are fixed on getting members because they know they're easy to prey on. But a disciple is not going to allow that to happen to them. And that's why you see when disciples start to question, because that's how one becomes even a stronger disciple. They begin to question. The disciples question Jesus day in and day out. And these men that have members, I dare you to question them, and they will try and put you in your place and tell you that they are the man of God. And as the man of God, your leader, you ought to be following the man of God. And by the way, God told me to tell you that you need to do this. That's when you look at them and you tell them, I speak to the same God. And he didn't say anything to me like that. So be very careful. Let me take you to another part in Acts 19. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul. Why God is doing it? Because he's operating in the kingdom of God. He's a disciple. He's an apostle. He's doing the work that Jesus Christ set aside for him to do, just like you and I. All of us have an assignment, man. Find it. Find yours. And so when he's walking in his assignment, so that even handkerchiefs or apron he had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirit came out of them. Then some of the, those Jewish, the irate, it says, that exorcists undertook to invoke the name of Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you, watch this, by the name of Jesus, whom Paul proclaimed. So these guys are using the name of Jesus, but they're saying, you know, the name of Jesus that Paul is using, that's the name. So seven sons of Jewish high priest named Scevia were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them. So these seven boys of what? Religious people. Seven sons of the Jewish high priest. This is the church that has a lot of members. And so they are considering using the name, but they don't know how to utilize the name, because they said, we're using the name that, you know, the one that Paul is using. And watch the response, because they don't have no authority. They don't have no power. He says, but the evil spirits answer them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, I recognize him, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both the Jews and the Greeks. And all fell, and fear fell upon them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled, as also many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic art brought their books together, burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them, and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. The word of God about the kingdom of God. Power wielded by disciples that the Bible tells us that you must become in order to walk in authority and with power. Anyone that is not a disciple walking in that, we see that these sons of the high priest, there were seven sons of the Jewish high priest that was dealing with a man, and the man had so much demons that it jumped out of him and mastered these seven sons and overpowered them, and they fled out. They made them strip themselves naked, and they wounded themselves and ran. These people that are playing with you, I went to a church, and this was a pastor friend of mine, man. This is the one that when I had asked him, how do you study when you are going to preach the word of God? Because he came to my house. I was sitting in my living room studying the word of God, and on my table had books from all over the place laid out, because God was teaching me about faith and grace, the power of grace. That was when he had given me the revelation about what grace meant, the blueprint of faith at the time, that book that I wrote. He had given me that revelation. So I was studying that. I was studying faith and grace and stuff like that, and what grace was. And you guys have heard me said grace, that the revelation of God showed me, is that divine influence upon the heart and the benefit that it brings to the believer. So God doesn't violate the will of the man, but he, through grace, can influence him to make decisions that will benefit me. And so when I study, he saw me studying that, and he said he was leaving, and he asked me if I could preach for that Sunday, morning and Sunday night service. And I said, sure. And so he sees me studying, and he looks at me, he says, what are you doing? And I said, I'm studying. I said, God has been showing me this revelation, and I want to get some good insight into it and learn it to the fullest ability that I can. And I looked at him and I said, so how do you study? He looked at me and he said, I don't study. I wing it. I said, you do what? What do you? He said, oh yeah, I just get up there and wing it. And I realized at that point in time that, you know, something is not right here. I need to move on. But anyway, this same pastor, I was winging it. My sons and I, young boys, we were in the front row. My four boys and I were sitting there, and this lady comes up, and she is foaming at the mouth. And obviously, you know, an evil spirit is presenting itself. And he puts his hand on her, and he lets this out. Let your burden be mine. And the minute he said that, my sons witnessed this, and they saw, we saw that transition of that process where the devil just jumped into him. And my sons looked at me and said, Dad, this is against the Bible. My son Josiah looked at me, he's sitting right next to me, he says, this is not in the Bible. This is actually contrary to what Jesus teaches us. And he said, we need to leave. We don't need to be here. I got up and listened to my young child and said, I agree with you. Let's go. This pastor was a friend of mine. That was the last day I was ever in his church, because when I saw what I saw, I realized this man was really, truly winging it. And he became very dangerous when that demon jumped from her into him. It was time to go. There are many of churches that you're in today that these men are not right. Be very mindful of that. Began to look at them, because the Bible says, you're going to know them. Jesus said, you're going to know them by their fruit. So I want to challenge you guys to begin to look at them and look at the Word of God and make a decision that is based on your family's survival, on your survival, because you're trusting this man with your spiritual headship. If he's going to be winging it, you're in trouble. And we don't know who they are. But if you listen to their sermon, and line up with it, because their sermon has to be a part of the kingdom of God. If you look in the Word to begin to see what the kingdom of God is about, the kingdom of God is about healing. The kingdom of God is about delivering people from demon possession. The kingdom of God is about your wisdom, honor, all of these things, loving your enemy. These are principles that are of the kingdom of God, because the Bible instructs us that we should seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these signs and all these things that we are looking for and asking for will follow us. And so what is going to be following us? Because if we're seeking the kingdom of God, we're going to be walking in faith to a degree. And then we walk in faith. It says all things are possible to him who believes. Those casting out demons and healing all sicknesses and disease is a part of your assignment that you're here. And God promises also to meet your needs and that you and your household shall be saved. So we have to begin to question, what do we really believe? Because Jesus said in the Bible, have faith in God. And I believe that is our weakness, because the Bible also tells us that the devil have faith in God and they trembled. You and I don't even have that kind of faith in God. And we have to have faith in God, because in order for us to have faith in God, it says, then we will be able to say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. Because why? We are disciples. We recognize that we are disciples and we have been empowered. We have been given authority. And we have been given power. And the Holy Spirit is here to infuse us, to be a part of us, to live in us, so that we can see what happened with Paul, that as the Holy Spirit came in and he began to walk as a disciple, that he changed the world. And you and I are called to do the very same thing. And so I want to encourage all of you guys. I believe this is the end of our study when it comes to sicknesses and disease. I wanted to show you how Jesus dealt with that. I wanted to show you the origin of evil spirits and demons. I wanted to show you that we pivoted back again to Jesus and show you what he did and how he did things in light of all the information that we gathered as far as who these creatures and demons and evil spirits were. And then we branched off and we finished up with the disciples and show you that we as disciples and only disciples, not members, can walk in that authority and walk with that power. So if there is no disciples, there is no authority, there is no power. Only those, that group can wield that type of authority and to walk in it, not a member in a church. So find yourself a disciple and sit under them and learn and become a disciple and change the world and preach the kingdom of God so that you and I can see manifest change and see affect the lives of all of those that are in the kingdom of darkness. And we see what happened when that happened. The Bible tells us that people were amazed. We saw that Paul was able to do these. People became, got saved and all these different things. And so that is our assignment while we're here. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight.